thinking back then about the apartments, I just every time I would drive by, I was just looking at all these apartments, saying pretty much, oh, that they're paying $2,000 for that. That, and I'm just like, whoever owns these things, it's ridiculous. Like how, you know, and you start asking yourself questions, like, you know, who owns that or how do you do that? Then you start reading, right, and going to boot camps. And I know that's what I was telling you before the show. That's where I actually saw you at one of boot camps about 6 years ago. And so it was more of a self-education, and then that slowly led into the brokerage of commercial real estate.
This is your daily real estate syndication show. I'm your host, Whitney Sewell. Today, our guest is Jason Postel. He's a principal at MCHI Group, started in real estate after ending his professional baseball career in 2015. He joined Exit Real Estate Property Solutions as a real estate advisor, a commercial real estate investment specialist at Marcus & Millichap. He's even a full-service commercial brokerage. He started in 2019, specializes in multifamily throughout the Southeast. And he's very focused now, though, on mobile home parks. He and his partner, where they're growing and growing quickly. You're going to hear that transition from the professional athlete, which we've heard, from a few athletes who have been on the show, going into, becoming an entrepreneur, right, or going into real estate, and why that's been helpful, right? I think in a number of ways, but some things that he wished he had been doing. I think, which I think applies to no matter who you are, no matter where you're at in your life, whether you are a entrepreneur now or not, it's going to be helpful to you. Jason, welcome to the show. Honored to dive in and learn more about you. Interesting background. I was doing some research on you this morning, by the way. So I'm looking forward to the discussion. I know you can add a ton of value to the listeners, but let's dive in there a little bit. I know you didn't actually start in real estate. Is that right?
That's right. And thanks, Whitney, for having me. Appreciate being on here. Excited. That's right.
Yeah.
But I did not start in real estate at all.
Yeah. I've had a number of people on the show who were professional athletes, and then they, get into real estate and commercial real estate in one form or another, or become an entrepreneur, right, in some way. And I love the just the connection, say, whether it's professional athletes or military or say law enforcement, like that type of like training, that background, how then it, man, it seems like it transitions into entrepreneurship pretty well.
And I do see now I never understood it, but I, the competitiveness is, I think, a huge part of that. But I look back and now I see some guys, and it's commercial real estate, or kind of doing their own thing, entrepreneur. Yeah, absolutely.
Speak to that transition. You were a professional baseball player, right? And then, why real estate? Why did you, when you leave a career path like that, I feel like there's so much like committed there to make something like that happen, right? To get to that level in any kind of sport or career, like that doesn't happen easily, right? For anyone, I don't believe anyway. That's at least my perception. But speak to that, to then knowing, hey, real estate's the next thing for me.
Yeah, and that's a good question. I get asked that, and I never had a traditional background in real estate. My family wasn't in it. I mean, my father had one rental, right? I heard more or less like nightmare stories, like, oh, they're not paying, or they stole this and left, or so it never really came from that. I remember being at a tournament when I was younger, just down in Palm Beach, seeing the skyline, just the commercial real estate. And just always gravitated to buildings, and I didn't even know real estate, the term then, right? And just had this intuition, I call it God, for the listeners, that was, my guidance. But I played for about 5 years after college, so I signed professionally and played for about 5 years. And looking back, obviously wish would have done a little more self-educating. But I about 26 was my last year playing, and I was at one of my last pro camps, and I heard a big leaguer say with the Tigers, he said he didn't make his millions in baseball. He made his millions owning thousands of units of apartments in South Detroit. I said, oh, bingo. And that was just, and I still didn't know where to start, right? So I thought, you know, it was get a real estate license, go sell real estate. And so I went that route. And for your listeners, it's that it's not the always the course, right? It just depends what you want to do, but you don't know what you don't know, right? So I did end up getting a real estate license my last season. I still got studied and got the license, and then once I hung it up, I just got into general, like residential, sold homes. And I quickly found out that that wasn't it for me, even though I did well, and that's a great business. It wasn't for me, the whole emotional, just, it wasn't what I felt real estate was what I had in mind. So, thinking back then about the apartments, I just, every time I would drive by, I was just looking at all these apartments saying, pretty much, oh, that they're paying $2,000 for that. That, and I'm just like, whoever owns these things, it's ridiculous. Like, how, and you start asking yourself questions, like, who owns that, or how do you do that? Then you start reading, right, and going to boot camps. And I know that's what I was telling you before the show. That's where I actually saw you at one of boot camps about 6 years ago. And so, it was more of a self-education, and then that slowly led into the brokerage of commercial real estate, and then. To then say, hey, I'm finding these deals for everybody else. I do understand there's a way to pool these together, via the syndication model. And that's where about 7 years later it ended up. So
Yeah.
that was the long short of it.
No, that's awesome. A couple of things I wanted to ask you about there that you mentioned. You said during that time, like looking back during that time when you were, a professional athlete, you said you wish you had done more self-educating. What would you have done? Like, what would you have been learning about or focused on? Like, looking back to that person now who may, and I think this can apply to even somebody that's still in their job or in a W-2 that's looking to go somewhere else. What would you have been focused on as far as educating yourself about?
Great question. Because I don't know when the podcast really got big. I mean, the social media was nothing clearly like it is now, but there was always books, always books. And embarrassingly enough, I didn't really start even reading until I was 26. I played baseball. That was, I hate to even admit it, but when I was in school, that was all I focused on. But it ended up putting me into a position to be a professional baseball player. But and I see again how some of that translates, like the goal setting. I never knew goal setting, but I wrote my mom a letter when I was 10 years old, right? Hey, I'm gonna be a professional baseball player. I'm gonna play, and I literally wrote it down and never even thought of that through college and goal setting till I started reading, right? Goals. That was the one thing. And there's so many books out there that literally show you how to set goals. And once you do that, you're like, oh, whoa, wait, I was doing this not even knowing. Like, I was writing down what I am, what I want to be. So, to your question, I think even if you don't know what it is, right? If you just say, hey, I want to get into real estate like I did, if you just start somewhere with a book on real estate, there's so many. And then you'll naturally gravitate to something. You'll probably try a bunch of things, but I would say just start reading, listening to these podcasts, right? There was a time where I didn't even know what syndication was. I get people that still ask me, what is syndication? They don't even know what that is. So really just start somewhere, whether that's listening to a podcast, reading some books, and then as you find that little niche, you'll see the masterminds, you'll see it have the groups, you'll be able to go to the events. And so, that's, I don't like to look back and say, well, I wish, because I don't, probably should regret plenty, but I don't. And it's just that, those 8-hour bus rides, those times that I wasn't, practicing, I could have been doing some self-educating. So, I try to share that
Yeah.
would have been
So
a.
maximize your time to educate yourself. I think about that too. Instead of listening to music, I should have been listening to more books, right? I should have been taking in more things like that. I as well did not, self-educate early enough. Man, looking back, I just pushed my, say my nieces and nephews, even my kids, it's like, man, you got to be reading, got to be taking stuff in. Before you know it, 10, 15, 20 years have gone by, and man, what have you done with that time, right? One other thing that stood out, you heard this guy that was ahead of you, ultimately sounded like, from what he said, took it as like this guy that was kind of ahead of you in his professional baseball career. I mean, you know, to many of you, maybe that were newer in baseball. It sounded like you weren't newer, but, you know, at least not as advanced as him. You may have thought that, hey, you know, I'm going to make my millions being a professional athlete. Like, that's maybe what the assumption was, and probably is the assumption by many, especially outsiders looking in, right, to, you know, looking at professional athletes on TV and whatnot. But this guy sounded like him just making a comment kind of changed your thought process towards making my millions and where it's going to come from. You know, speak to, like, I don't know, just what happened. Did you pursue him at all, or like talk to him about it, or was it, you know?
No, to this day, I've still tried to look him up. I messaged him. I was trying to cold call him, just find his number, because, you know, that really did just stick with me. And even though at that camp, it wasn't so much like, oh, I should have gone up to him. And now that I know, question people, ask them questions, just get more curious. I didn't even say a word. It just stuck in my head, and I went back and, you know, threw the ball. But no, I do still try to even reach out, because, yeah, a lot of people think you need all this starting capital, and for the listeners too, because I do, people are like, oh, well, that's great, he played professional baseball, probably had all this starting capital. In the minor leaguers, you don't always, right? There's the few select that get a big signing bonus, either out of high school, college, and majority of the rest, you get a little bit to live off of, but you're making very little in those lower level minor leagues, and into the hope that, yeah, you get to the big leagues, then you're making your millions, but not everybody gets there. So again, the syndication model, when you can pull those resources together, that's where I eventually learned. But yeah, of course, thinking, oh, well, I'm going to work, get to the big leagues, then I'll have the millions too. That was, of course, the initial thought. But it did not happen that way at all. So it was at least just the spark that took a different direction.
So you got your license, you started selling residential real estate. Sounds like you figured out pretty quickly, oh, this is not what I was looking for. But then you started your own brokerage, right? A commercial brokerage. And you're still doing that, I think. You know, speak to, like, okay, you know, you moved from, say, residential realtor to commercial brokerage. You know, why, and what was the path, you know, what was your thinking then, you know, as you figured out that being a realtor wasn't what you were looking for, was the plan then to become a syndicator or operator, or was it to just be a operator brokerage?
No. And so once I got into just the general, I always had the building, the bigger picture, right? People say, oh, I want to sell that condo in that unit. And I just think, like, well, I want to somehow sell the whole building. You know, that was just my, but I did not know how to do that. And so, I tried in the residential brokerage, finding that commercial person and talk to them and, hey, can I just come under your wing or help you? Like, how can I help you? And I didn't even know how to help at that point. I was asking, how can I help? Is there something I can do? And I'd, you know, go in the car, and it was more like bird dogging, you know, development sites or something, which is fine. That's a whole other business too, in the commercial, and you're finding the sites for developers. And I was thinking, gosh, this isn't it though. Like, so I remember sitting with my father, and again, he had zero experience in real estate, but I just was asking him, like, Dad, I want to own apartment buildings. Like, how do I even start? And he didn't know, but he started thinking. He goes, you know, I might have an old buddy that I think's in some apartment, something. Like, he didn't even know. And so he kind of pointed me that direction. He ended up being a pretty large developer, an apartment. It was a pretty good contact. I'm like, that, you know, this was a good direction. But he actually ended up pointing me into a commercial brokerage and said, hey, you know, if you're doing well where you're at, then, you know, stay there, because this could be a grind for a little while, you know, and you're going to be eating some, you know, stuff for a little bit. But if you want to learn, you know, this would be a good route. So I did do that for a few years with the larger outfits, and really learned the ins and outs. And then still said, okay, I want to still learn, you know, that I didn't really see behind the scenes, like maybe the mentors they own, but I wasn't really seeing that piece. So, you know, after a few years, I'd already been now licensed about five. I said, look, I want to go independent. I still transact, but I want to find deals for myself. Because at that point, I had learned a little bit about the syndication. Said, hey, I have some investors. I can find the deals now. I understand the underwriting. You know, and all the pieces started kind of falling together. And yes, still we have an independent brokerage out of Florida. We transact, you know, nationwide, but the main business is we're taking that active income and investing in our own deals that we're syndicating. So that was the end game. And fortunately it was sooner than later, but maybe not as soon as it could have been, right? You never know. But
yeah, we don't know what we don't know.
Right. Yeah.
And many steps to get where we're going often. But now your main focus is it mobile home parks now?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So speak to why mobile home parks, out of say multifamily or self storage or any of these things that you could be focused on, or, and even as a brokerage as well, that you would have access to potentially, why mobile home parks?
Yeah. And so that I would have never thought, and I would have never bought a trailer park or never even thought about it. Even as a commercial asset, never even when I got into commercial real estate, I didn't even really, it's a subset of maybe multifamily, but I was an apartment guy and that was always a sweetheart, right? Oh, I love apartments. I want to buy apartments. Oh, and I still to this day, love apartments. But once it got more real in the sense of, okay, now I have a few hundred thousand dollars of other people's money, I'm going to be investing in these. And not saying brokering deals, I didn't care about that, right? Just full disclosure here. But I started just really diving in and saying, okay, what's if there's a downturn? I wasn't part of, 07, 08. I was playing ball, kind of blind to a lot of things, but I knew it was bad. And then I just started, I knew it, it's cyclical, it'll go up and down and up and down. So we'll be, there at some point. And like, what is, in my opinion, just trying to learn what's the safest asset class. And really it actually before that, it was more like, well, what's less competitive, and I started looking like nobody likes rough areas. Oh, nobody wants to buy in the hood. Nobody's going deep. And so I said, well, okay, that makes sense. But never got into Section 8 rentals. We have some, but it's like, okay, that's maybe guaranteed government funds. And I just started looking into it. And I said, well, mobile home parks are interesting. And I heard, which this is not true whatsoever, but I heard someone say, oh, just you own the dirt. You just own the dirt. And, it's so management. It's not as management intense. And so I said, okay, well, that sounds good. It's because I'm underwriting all these apartment buildings and sell them. I saw the, that expense ratio and all the turn and I was thinking, okay, well, that sounds good. And then I dove in a little deeper, and then I ended up cold calling actually my business partner. That's a funny story in itself, but on a park here in Florida, and that's kind of where it then began, and then we ended up in Arkansas, and I can get into that too, but it was just a pivot after just looking at more recession resistant asset classes. Again, apartments are great. That we're behind food, water, and shelter, right? So everybody's always going to need a place to live. But it was a, in my opinion at the time, a lesser competitive asset class and a little bit maybe safer, again, in my opinion, than the retail or office or some others. Yeah.
So you were in multifamily, say, before you met your business partner? Or
I was
in mobile home
brokerage.
Parks even?
Oh, well,
brokerage. Okay.
I never really brokered the mobile home parks. I was getting more busy. It was more of a, hey, I want to try to find these now to buy. And then if it doesn't make sense, we can sell it type of deal. And we still sell some general commercial. I have a few associates that do some more general, but yeah, we're not like a mobile home park brokerage. We buy, we're just buyers of that. But we did multifamily. And then I started just calling database and trying to still learn the space better and try to go on meetings with owners and kind of go that route.
Yeah, no, awesome. I'm just figuring out, you briefly mentioned there, and I get questions about this all the time, but, you found your partner through a cold call, right? So you were a broker or you were brokering, right? You were trying to find assets, I guess, or connect with sellers or owners. And that's how you connected with him.
Yeah. And it's a real good story because a lot of people don't like making cold calls. right? It's in my opinion, it's one of the easiest things you can do, but it's one of the hardest things that people just literally can't do. Like they'll freeze up. They, you know, they just can't do it. And my father, I remember saying, you know, he was in sales, just like commercial printing sales, but he, you know, said one call could literally change your life, you know, and it always stuck with me because I, you know, I've been told, oh, well, you're good at, I'm not good at cold calls. I'm just not, I do it though. That's why I feel that just because I do it, right? And so it was my first week going independent and I had a list on the East Coast of Florida and I was just calling, just cold calling through the list. And it was, it might've been like Thanksgiving, like day before or something. It was right around holiday time. And he picks up and says, who the, you know, is JP Capital, and hung up. Literally just, I didn't even get out what I wanted to say other than my name and the brokerage, and hung up. I called him right back because that eats at me. You know, if I can't, at least I'm not going to annoy, you know, if I at least get what I say, I'm not just going to keep harassing people. But, you know, for me, I was like, I didn't even get out what I wanted to, or why I was calling. So I called him back. He used to be a Wall Street guy. So he said, he actually appreciated that. He goes, dang, I just told this guy and hung up and he called me right back. He's got, you know, some kahunas. So he listened at that point. And I was trying to make an offer on his park and hook the meeting and we ended up meeting for coffee and for about 2 years. It's not like we just met and then jumped into, you know, 700 units together, but yeah, that's where it started. And I always tell my agents, like, you never know that, you know, that again, that one call that can change your life. You never know. So just pick up the phone, you know what you're going to say, just. That's how you can create opportunity. So, yeah, it was a good story, funny story.
That's but. Interesting. Yeah, cold calling. Do you use say cold calling now you know, in finding projects now?
Yeah, you know, and we've worked on a year or just over a year ago acquisitions team, and we don't even have that now. Like that kind of fell apart trying to source overseas and do that. But to this day, still. Between Tyler and I mean, he's over in, I'm in Florida. He's in Arkansas where our portfolio is, but I'm still on the phone. So I'll still cold call. I'll hook a meeting for him and it's a good tag team effort still, but yeah, we're still doing it to find some really good deals. Absolutely.
That's awesome. And just so the listeners know, we're going to do another segment with Jason. We're going to dive into some of his superpowers around sourcing deals, and putting deals together and scaling the acquisitions piece. I'm looking forward to talking about that in a lot more detail, but just so the listeners know, it'll be on tomorrow's segment. So, Jason, you know, I was just thinking too about your path here. You know, what would be something you'd leave us with as far as, you know, like, hey, if I'd have known this one thing, you know, 10 years ago or 5 years ago, you know, what, you know, that would have changed all this for me, or I wish I'd have known this, or, you know, what would you tell the listeners right now?
Yeah, I would say just don't wait. Once you figure it out, and when I say figure it out, it's whatever you're trying to do. It could be, again, you might not learn the syndication yet, but if, you know, I thought the duplex route, kind of the double every, I think it was a Brandon Turn double every, you know, two, whatever. That was the course I was going to take because I thought like, oh, I didn't have a whole lot of starting capital. And I was, oh, well, I can just wait till I get these big commission checks and then start. And then there's these excuses that would come up in my own head. And then I, during the pandemic, that's when I said, you know, this is the time to just go, just do it. Or there will always be something. Oh, my, you know, I have a daughter that then, oh, I have a new, or I started. There will always be something that comes up. And so I would just say that, you know, don't wait. If you want, just go. It doesn't matter what age you are, oh, young, older. It's just, if you have an idea, don't just keep it an idea or that's just a dream that'll just poof in the air. So just act on it on somehow, right? It could just be some little step towards going to that local RIA meeting, the real estate meeting, or you know, just get started doing something instead of sitting around thinking you have to. I remember one time I thought I had to finish this entire book before I did, you know, I'm just like, this is crazy now. Now I'm just, no, I'm making excuses, you know, so don't just start. And I know it's kind of cliche, you know, a lot of people say, oh, just get started. But that's really it. It's really
but
it.
So many don't do it.
That's right.
You know, so many do not do it. So I don't think we can hear it enough, right? Is just get started and stop making excuses. And there's an excuse for everybody that looks for one, right? Me included.
Always.
I have to remind myself of that often. You know, and man. Well, Jason, grateful for your time today. And tell the listeners how they can get in touch with you and learn more about you.
Yeah, I'm always on the email, jason@mhcigroup.com. That's our website, mhcigroup.com. And you know, pretty easy to find out there. So that's how you can find me. Appreciate it, Whitney. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being with us again today. I hope that you have learned a lot from the show. Don't forget to like and subscribe. I hope you're telling your friends about the Real Estate Syndication Show and how they can also build wealth in real estate. You can also go to lifebridgecapital.com and start investing today.